It's 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV. This is a special program because as you are seeing this, we're actually out of the country. But we are bringing you this as a sort of a preview of what you'll see on the Skywatch TV weekly broadcast program, which is syndicated around the country. You can see the dates and times by logging on to skywatchtv.com/channels. We're going to tease a little bit of what you'll see over the next 4 weeks as we talk about three new books from Defender Publishing. Progressive Evil from Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, my forthcoming book, Bad Moon Rising, and the book that will be the topic of our conversation today. He's the best-selling author of books such as Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, and the third of the Gods trilogy, if you will, The Gods of the Final Kingdom. We welcome Pastor Carl Gallops to Skywatch TV. Carl.
Thank you, Derek. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're shaking hands in America while we're overseas in Israel.
Yeah, we are practicing the laws of quantum physics, and that two elements of part of the same atomic structure, and we are, can be in two different places at the same time and react accordingly. And so there we are.
And that actually leads into what I was going to ask you about, because you cover a number of fascinating topics in the book, Gods of the Final Kingdom.
Thank you.
And we discussed some of those when Rabbi Zev Perot was here about a month ago. But you claim in the book that there are, in the Bible, clear presentations of multiple dimensions, portals, and time travel.
Yeah. As freaky as that might sound to some of our listeners that have never even considered these things or heard these things. And listen, I know you guys on Skywatch talk about this all the time.
Josh Peck, that's his bailiwick right there.
That's right. It is his bailiwick. And I think he and or you or y'all have written some books about it.
That's right up Josh's alley, unraveling the multiverse.
His weekly
program.
And I've been
multiverse.
On his show several times, so I understand this. But my book is not just some cheap ripoff of his work. There's several chapters that draw the people's attention to, for people that have never heard it, they need to know this. People that watch your show all the time and already know it, not only will they be refreshed, their memory be refreshed about, that is in the Bible, very clearly, but what I do with it, I don't just put it in there as a gratuitous example of some profound biblical truth, but these 10 or 11 or 12 profound biblical truths that I unveil in here, I say unveil, they've always been there, but I mean, this just, you don't hear it preached from pulpits, you don't hear it in seminaries and Bible colleges, or you don't never hear it in Sunday schools and Bible studies, never, seldom do you hear it. So what I do is these 10 or 12 topics, they're connected from Genesis to Revelation. I connect the dots to show the story of what God has been up to before he even breathed into Adam's nostrils, to what he has been up down through history, you know, his story.
Right.
To the restitution of all things that's coming at Revelation 22. And so I connect these dots, bringing these deep biblical truths. Many of them line up with today's modern scientific discoveries, although I'm not trying to, you know, say, science has proved. I don't care if science proves it or not. And God's word says it, so I stand there.
Right.
But as a matter of fact, in these cases of multiple dimensions and portals and time travel, I show not only example after example after example from the scripture of these truths, beginning in the first chapter of Genesis, it all begins, but I also show that God's word just expects us to believe him. Nowhere are these deep, now scientific truths, nowhere are they explained in the Bible. I mean, in scientific ways, or, please trust me, this really exists. It's just like, this exists. The best example from the New Testament is when Jesus says, now there was a rich man who died and went to hell. And Lazarus, who's a beggar that sat at his feet, went to paradise. Abraham, he called out to Father Abraham. Abraham came, obviously with a key through a portal because he had to cross a chasm. He's speaking to him. He says, now there's a chasm between them. You can't go over there and they can't come over here. What is all that speaking of? Dimensions of reality.
Right.
There is a physical, literal reality where the rich man was. There's a physical, literal reality where the beggar was, Lazarus. There's a physical, literal reality of a chasm, a divide, an interdimensional wall, if you will. Then there's the physical dimension of the earth life that they both came from. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 dimensions mentioned right there in this parable or this account that Jesus gives. Well, why would he even go there if none of that was true? You start in the very book of Genesis and you hear of the divine realm. God speaks from the divine realm. He creates the earthly realm. And then when the sin in the garden occurs, He drops the veil. He makes a division. He puts a chasm between the Garden of Eden and the fallen world. There's another realm. Mm-hmm. And then the penalty, it comes through death. And there's the realm of separation from God. I mean, all of these interdimensional realms of truly real physical existence. And I've just scratched the surface. The Word of God from Genesis to Revelation demands that we understand and believe this. And if we don't understand it in our mind, we are to accept it by faith because God says so. Mm. Without faith, it's impossible to serve God because we must first believe that He exists. And then I'm going to add these words, and believe that what He tells us about reality is true, whether we can fathom it or not. So I take several chapters to unravel that truth. And not only do I do that, but as I say about all of my writings here, I do not pull this stuff out of my back pocket. I back it up with scholarly attestations of renowned, respected scholars from the classicals to the modern-day scholars who have seen the same things that I'm seeing and who have written about it. The shame of it is, and this is one of the things I show, is that even though many scholars before you and me, and I'm not putting ourselves in the same class as these guys, I'm just saying we're somewhat of researchers and scholars, but the guys before us that are renowned scholars, they wrote about it profusely. But for some reason, somewhere along the line, in modern Western Christianity, particularly in the United States, it has become absent from the preaching and teaching of Bible studies and sermons.
Tom Horns and Defender Publishing have put out some works that were classics back in the day, like George H. Pember's works, which go back more than 100 years, I believe almost 150 years, that deal with some of these things that are now considered fringe topics.
That's what I'm saying.
And
a lot of the scholars did. They saw it in the scriptures before they even had the science to back it.
And is that why you chose to use so many scholars, the works of scholars from that era, the classical?
Yeah. You know, in my little author's note before you even begin the book, I just make a statement, just a paragraph or two statement. I say, look, when you enter into this book, when I start doing the theological teaching, because the first 8 or 9 chapters is this narrative. It's like reading a novel. Mm-hmm. I take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. I bring you all the way through history to the wilderness temptation with Jesus. Satan has now become the hunted. Jesus is the hunter. He's luring him out. And then there's going to be this exchange of this temptation experience. Paul says the second Adam came to the garden. That's what you see, the second Adam. He's reversing the curse of the first Adam. So I take you on this narrative journey. But when I come to the teaching part of it, I make a lot of statements in that narrative journey that when you're reading, you're thinking, the Bible doesn't say that. Why would Carl put that in there? But then when you get into the theological unpackaging, you see that not only does the Bible say that, but the scholars have written to it. Mm-hmm. And that hopefully will be a pleasant shock to people as they read the book, like, oh my gosh, Carl knew what he was talking about. He actually has done some research. Yes. And so the reason I say in my little author's note up front, I say, look, I use a lot of modern scholars in our lifetime, modern linguist experts. I use Greek and Hebrew dictionaries to do word studies of things that I'm talking about. I said, but I make liberal use of the classical scholars for a purpose because I want the church to see, number one, I'm not making this up. Number two, scholars way more renowned than I am have seen this for 200 years, and they've written prolifically to it. They've seen these truths. They've seen the connections, and somewhere along the line, it is being denied to the people of the church in our age. Mm. It's too spiritual. It's too deep. It's too profound. It's too revelatory for our little tender ears today. You know, we want things that are fluffy and feel good and don't trigger us. And, that's what I do with God's A Final Warning. And listen, it's a very positive book. I mean, it deals with some dark stuff that's going on behind the scenes, but it moves towards a very positive, encouraging, inspirational ending. And so, but I'm hoping this will wake the church up, maybe wake some pulpits up. You could do some tremendous Bible studies and preaching and teaching from the book as well. But it's written so that any layperson that enjoys reading it all, Mm-hmm. They can just peel through this book. The chapters are 5 pages long, you know, easy to read. I write it at a layman's level, and I don't mean that disparagingly. I'm saying, mm-hmm. I didn't write it for seminary professors.
Right, right.
I just wrote it for God's people.
Yeah.
From the pulpit right on down. And I use narrative, as I said, in the beginning, and it ends with narrative, storytelling, mm-hmm. To bring the Bible alive. And then in between are the theological implications. So anyway, thanks for asking me. Yes, that's why I use the classical scholars.
Well, and I got to say, your writing style has inspired me.
Be careful now. Thank you. I thought you were going to say, I got to say, your writing style is horrible.
No, because you're right. The short chapters and writing in a more conversational style to try to bring this information from the ivory tower down to the pews.
Yeah.
So the people can absorb. It's not dumbing down the material.
No, I don't think so.
It's just trying to present the material in a way that makes it accessible.
Thank you. Yeah, I've written 9 books now. I think these last 4 or 5 have been some of the deepest studies I've ever done. But yet, I've my writing style has evolved and to a more conversational style. Mm-hmm. Some of my first books, people still love them and write me all the time, and I think God's using them, and I loved writing them. But they were a little more, you know, back then when I first started writing, what we now call the conversational style was not accepted by most editors.
Yeah.
They didn't like it at all. If you did that, if you used contractions or kind of conversational short chapters and little punchy sentences, they didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted it artsy, you know, and more academic.
Right, right.
And so my first books were a little more like that. But I still resisted, you know, I still tried to make it graspable. But now I love the freedom of this style of writing where mm-hmm. you can just put it in punchy paragraphs, punchy sentences, do some narrative. Then if you're getting technical, you can bring it to a conversational style that the people in the pew that work all week long,
right.
and then they come to church, they can read this, they say, I get this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Word of God is making sense now,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that thrills me. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher.
Yeah.
And so when I see light bulbs going on in people's heads when I preach and teach or write and they read my books, that's the greatest thrill I get in my life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you for your kind words.
No, in fact, my previous books were usually like 7-8 chapters, and the chapters are all like 40, 50 pages each now. This one's got 32 chapters, and they're all like 5 to 10.
See?
And
see?
It's because of Carl.
Oh, thank you. Wow, thank you so much.
So this week, beginning Sunday, we begin a series of 4 programs featuring the new books by Carl Gallups, Pastor Carl Gallups, my new book, and the book by Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, Carl's book, Gods of the Final Kingdom. We'll talk a little bit more about this as we get closer to the kickoff of this 4-week series, and you won't want to miss that. Again, for dates and times to watch the program, log on to skywatchtv.com/channels, or of course, just download the SkyWatch TV channels for Roku, Apple TV, and now for Amazon Fire TV. We've got an app for that now, too. They're all free, the free mobile app as well. You can send the programs directly to your smartphone or tablet, regardless of the operating system. Just check the website, skywatchtv.com. We've got the instructions and the links there in the top menu bar. With Carl Gallups, I'm Derek Gilbert. We thank you for watching as we keep watch. This is 5 and 10 from SkyWatch TV.
The victims of the human trafficking and sex trade industry have reached a boiling point around the world. But here in the United States, the demand has never been higher. Tragically, the massive growth of these unconscionable underground organizations is due in part to many citizens' disbelief that our modern society is capable of such atrocities and live in a denial that these crimes are taking place here on our soil each and every day. SkyWatch TV and Whispering Ponies Ranch remain committed to providing ministry to the hurting, to the victims of abuses just like this and so much more. This is why we're proud to announce our new partnership with Yaku Buyans and 8 Days Ministry. In an effort to educate on these important topics and provide you with the tools needed to get engaged in the fight against sex trafficking, we present the 8 Days Special Collection. In this timely collection, you'll receive the cinematic movie inspired by actual events from director Yaku Buyans' 8 Days. This shocking presentation masterfully illustrates sequence by sequence how the victims of sex trafficking are often lured into entrapment, portrayed through the eyes of the lead characters. This incredible collection also includes the phenomenal book and companion workbook on disc, Woman of Influence, written by 8 Days screenwriter Philippa Buyans and lead actress Katie Walker. This 30-day devotional and companion workbook on disc is an inspiring, deeply affirming, and educational set that will encourage women to walk in the true identity of influence and purpose bestowed on them as daughters of the Most High God. But that's not all. You'll also receive on DVD the never-before-released, uncensored, off-the-record interview with the team behind the 8 Days movie, featuring Yaku and Philippa Booyans and actress Katie Walker as they disclose the hard-hitting realities of just how far the sex trafficking industry reaches, what the Trump administration has done to rescue thousands of victims, how the children of communities, including yours, may be at risk, and what you can do to fight back. Sold separately, this invaluable collection holds a retail value of $90. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Sex trafficking is a difficult conversation, but ignoring it doesn't make it go away or help its victims. Understand this epidemic and learn how you can help by ordering the 8 Days Special Collection online now at the SkyWatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985.